Hey there, I'm your host, Hunter Burney. Welcome to the Catalyst Podcast, where the focus is on real stories and real value for the people getting it done every day. So as we transition into this second series titled Influence, we're starting with a powerful guest, a great story, very successful and seasoned real estate agent. Her name is Kathy Carter. I have been fortunate enough to know Kathy almost my entire life. I grew up with her son, two sons really, and just been a great influence in my life. And so I'm really excited to bring this episode to kick off this series. So this first episode with Kathy will be very much practical and tested business principles rooted in her experience and just her heart for serving others and excelling and seeing people succeed in themselves. We'll talk about career progression, making the leap from her corporate world leadership position over to real estate full-time. And we'll talk about some of the dynamics of being a real estate agent and what success looks like. Also, I think you'll really want to hear the context of this quote.
You know, I think, Hunter, I think we all have influence. Whether we realize it or not, we all have influence. I mean, even from young children, right?
You know, I couldn't resist a good soundbite like that. So without further ado, let's hop into this first episode with Kathy.
Okay, so wheels up, officially kick off this conversation. Kathy, I want to start by saying thank you for being on here. When we met back at Starbucks, I think I'd already told you, like, I wish we could have just recorded a lot of that because it was exactly in line with, kind of what I believe in and what I'm passionate about. And I think you have a great story to tell. You are the first guest that, as we move into the second series of the podcast for, you know, titled Influence. And so I'm just really excited to have you on, and it's just an honor. So
excited to be here. So excited to, and humbled to be here. So I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, it's fun. So if you will, just kind of don't need like a whole life or career story necessarily, but I do think it's important to kind of set the stage for the journey you've been on and the career you've built in real estate. But I just want to kind of open with who Kathy is and set the stage.
Oh, that's a loaded question. Who Kathy is? I guess first I would say that I'm a Christian wife, a Christian mom. And, those are the things that are the most important to me. And then followed by that is what I do in my, you know, profession and my work, and which is real estate. And I've been doing that for the last 21 years full time and seen a lot, been through a lot, you know, with ups and downs in the market and what have you. But yeah, I mean, prior to doing real estate, I was in the corporate world and started at the very bottom, you know, literally just an hourly person, and was there many years and just worked my way up into that world finally I became a sales manager and, you know, did a lot of traveling, things like that. And I had gotten, you probably don't even know this actually, but I had gotten my license when Josh was just a few months old actually.
Okay.
And so I had gotten my license. My my sister, who was 12 years older than me, she had gotten her license, and sort of she never really jumped into it full time. But I thought, you know, being the younger sister, I was like, oh, that seems like an awesome career. And so I got my license. Josh, our first son, you know, was less than a year old, and I was working full time. We had moved when he was only a week old, so we had a lot going on in that 1 year. And I realized, wow, real estate is a lot more than a part time, you know, work. And I was young; I was in my young 20s and inexperienced in life, let alone business. Even though I had gone to college, but so I did that for about a year. And then I just thought, you know, I'm not ready to do this yet. And I realized, like I said, that it, to be serious about it, you needed to, you know, really, to me, be full time. Mm-hmm. So, and plus being a young mom, all those things. So I let my license go. I didn't even retire them. And I'll never forget, like I laugh about it, even to this day, sometimes I'll still think about it and laugh about it. When I was in class getting my real estate license for the very first time, there was a girl in there who was coming back the second time, and she had let her license go. And I remember literally thinking, that's the dumbest thing ever. Like, why would you do that? And then there, you know, a year later, I did the same thing. But real estate just stayed in the back of my mind. And as I, you know, was in that corporate world and rose up the ladder there, I just realized, you know, one day I'll do that. And fast forward, probably 15 years later is when, after that corporate world, I just thought, you know, now's the time. And so I went, got my license again, and stayed in the corporate world for about 6 months, and did that simultaneous, you know, with my real estate, I mean, with my corporate world. And then finally, you know, Steve and I just had that discussion that I just said, look, if I'm going to be serious, like, I'm just going to take a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time I was making, he and I were making about equal money. And so it was a real leap of faith. We didn't have the luxury of me not bringing in at least what I was already bringing in, you know, in the corporate world. Sure. So it was a leap of faith, but I'll say that when I made that, you know, prayed a lot about it. And even though I'd been at that company, which I loved, I wasn't unhappy there. But even after I left, I remember the day I left, even after being there 15 years, I had complete peace, you know, I had complete peace. And so here I am 21 years later.
Yeah.
Been full time. And, you know, the funny thing is, when I jumped into it, I really had no idea, you know, what the journey would end up becoming.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I think, you know, from my perspective, obviously having grown up with Josh and been, you know, around you and Steve, for most of my life, you know, I think it's, I can see you being very successful and, you know, just a really strong leader in the corporate world to an extent. But I really have a lot of respect for what you've built in your real estate career. And I think you have a, you know, very smooth, just kind of influential way of operating in the way you've built out your business and invest in others and things like that. And that's the reason, you know, I wanted to have you on here. I think, you know, you have a lot to speak to that. And, from an experience standpoint. So that's cool. I mean, I know that real estate's, you know, just in general an interest of mine, but I know several people that, you know, it's hard to, that I've talked to along the way. It's, I imagine, you know, it's hard to know when the right time is to make the switch. And like you said, regardless, even if there's some overlap, it's still a leap of faith. So that's
you know, cool. It is. And I think that's true in any business, especially if somebody's trying to journey out on their own and leave that corporate world in the quote unquote safety net that it, you know, that it is. But to me, it's almost like, when's the right time to have a child? You know what I sure. mean? Like I remember many, in my corporate world, actually, I remember having a conversation with a guy there, and, you know, he and his wife wanted to have kids, but he's just like, I just don't think we're financially prepared. And I was like, so here's the deal. If you wait till you're financially prepared or think that you're financially prepared, you probably won't ever have kids, you know? And because in that world, just like in the business world, a lot of times it is just a leap of faith. Now, yes, you have to do the things that you need to do to hopefully set yourself up for success. Right. But at some point you just got to have faith, you know, if the dream, if you will, is big enough and you're really serious about it, that you just got to have the faith. Yeah. And then once you jump, I mean, you just got to hustle. I mean, it is nothing more than pure hustle. You know, in my real estate world, when I started and, you know, to get the business rolling and going, and, you know, it still continues to be that. It's a little bit different now, 21 years later, for me in that realm, which I'm sure we'll talk about some, but, you know, but in the beginning, when you're really wanting to start something, I mean, it just is all grit. It's just all grit.
Right. Yeah. And one thing that came to mind when you were talking about that is, especially when, like, looking at it through the lens of having kids, like, you know, I've had some similar conversations, you know, you're not really ready, right? I mean, it's, mm-hmm. there's no like perfect time, but adaptation, you know, the ability to adapt and have that resolve and persistence and grit, along with, you know, hey, I'm committed to this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to adapt however I need to, whether it's financially or my schedule or
right.
maybe it's just a paradigm shift of the way you think about things. So
yeah,
I think that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great point. So still just want to kind of dig in a little bit about, you know, how influence has kind of built up as you know, through your journey, and maybe this is all comes from the real estate, or it could be a blend of, you know, working your way up in leadership positions in the corporate world before being real estate. But I want to hear, you know, your perspective on the role that influence plays, the value, and I know it's kind of an open, you know, generic mm-hmm. question. I know there's a lot to unpack there, but
mm-hmm. you know, I think, Connor, I think we all have influence, whether we realize it or not. We all have influence. I mean, even from young children, right? I mean, that's why peer groups for children are so important, right? Because whoever the quote unquote leader is in the group, the people follow behind, right? And so they have the influence over those children. And then that starts at young ages and goes through life. And so what I would say as an adult, fast forward and understanding all that now, which as a child, you don't understand that, obviously. Right. But, you know, when you go through your life as a whole, it doesn't matter what you're, you know, if you're in school, if you are at work, if you're in a church community, if you are part of that, it doesn't matter what part of life that you're in, you have to be mindful and know that there are people watching. And the things that you do, the things that you say, all of those things, you could potentially, you know, again, have influence. And some people have more influence, you know, than others, understandably. But we all have influence, and we all have to be mindful about that. And just, you know, again, sort of going back to the kids situation, I mean, that's why parents, I think, are just try to be discerning with who their kids are hanging around with. Mm-hmm. You know, do the kids that they're hanging around with, do they feel like they're, you know, going to be leading them with the same values, with the same things that you as a parent want to be leading your kids with, right? And so so you realize, even as a young parent, you realize that other kids have influence on your kids. And then, you know, as I just said, I mean, we all have that influence. So, you know, as far as in the real estate community where I've been for all these years, I just sort of walk with that mindset, you know, and, you know, I try to give back to the real estate community. You know, I feel like I've established a great credibility, you know, amongst my peers. Our industry is very weird because on one hand we compete against one another, but on the other hand, we got to cooperate together, right? And, you know, when we're doing transactions and things like that. So if you're an agent who has built a reputation that is difficult and all those things, you know, other agents aren't going to want to bring their buyers to show your property. And so it's a very interesting dynamic, our industry. Like I said, we compete on one hand, but yet we have to cooperate with one another and have respect for one another. And right. For the most part, I think most agents walk well through that. But, you know, there are some, if I'm going to show 10 houses, I got buyers that want to look at 10 houses. And I know one of the agents that are on that listing is a real jerk and difficult to deal with. Unless my buyer says, I want to see this one first, that's going to be number 10. You know what I
right.
mean? And we might find a house before we ever get to number 10. And so you have to maintain. And again, I think this goes across all businesses. You have to maintain and build a level of respect among your peers. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love the way you frame that. I think that, you know, I can kind of see just look from an outsider standpoint and having been through a real estate transaction and fortunately been through one, you know, with you. You know, I can kind of see the dynamics of, and really the paradox of, you know, we have to be friendly competitors, and you have all these, I guess, extra relationships with,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be lawyers, brokers, insurance agents, lenders, you know, you have this whole like confluence of factors that goes in and I think that's a fantastic way and really example of looking at, you know, influence, especially influence without authority is kind of the way I like to put it, because you have such a dynamic, you know, set of interested parties, invested parties that have, some have completely different interests and agendas and but you're still all trying to work toward some kind of common
goal. Yeah.
Right. Right. No, I think that's,
and some people don't have that mindset. You know, it's interesting. I say all the time, the realtor's maker to kill a deal. You know, it's like, if you don't know how to deal and communicate and negotiate, and, you know, I have the mindset that it's that I want it to be a win-win. I mean, yes, I'm advocating always for my client, but I mean, if you're doing that while you're trampling over everybody else, then again, you just go into that influence and you develop a reputation of you're just, you know, going to stomp on everyone through the transaction, you know, trying to, you know, advocate, if you will, for your client, then you just lose respect. You lose the influence, you lose all those things. And so as an agent, I just saw that early on from a couple of other agents that I just witnessed things from. And I thought, you know, that I already see how that hurts their business, you know, and how that hurts their relationships with, like you just mentioned, all the other vendor partners that we had to deal with. I mean, I think that I've heard it said, I've not actually counted, but that there are 19 people in the transaction of a real estate deal, you know. So from, you got the lender, but then within the lending process, you got the processor, you got the underwriter. So there's 19 hands that, and 19 different people that have to touch a transaction to get it successfully from, you know, contract to close. And the realtors are the ones that are really the managers of all those 19 people, if you will. You know what I mean?
Right. It's
like, we've got to make sure that all those balls are all rolling the right direction to get to the finish line. And, you know, so you've got to maintain that level of professionalism, things like that, through the transaction to, you know, like you said, to get to the common goal that everybody's trying to get to.
Yeah. And like, I compare it in my mind to the business world, and I have a project management background, so it's easy for me to make this connection. But you're a project manager and you're a sales person at the same time. You know, it's just so many hats that you have to wear. And typically, you know, people don't excel at a lot of those. You know, if you just look at it strictly in the business world, that's like a functional area that you don't take a project manager in a large manufacturing or services company and put them in sales, typically. I mean,
that's
sometimes,
sometimes
you can.
Yeah, because they had, you know, personality-wise, people have different strengths, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of a cool way that being an agent stands kind of on its own, but it also can kind of pull from some of those expertise, you know, best practices and things like that to kind of get, you know, more leverage, more buy-in, however you want to word it. But I think that's, you know, a really cool aspect of, to be successful, like you're saying, you can, there's probably several agents out there that don't really think about it through those lenses of, you know, maybe just looking at, I'm here to do this transaction. And
that's right.
You know,
and 80% of the realtors that get their real estate license are out of the business in 2 years. It's a high turnover.
Okay.
It's a high
turnover. Heard that.
Yeah. So literally 80% of the people, you know, the sad thing about our industry is it's a low entry, and, you know, people will probably be interested to hear this because the general public doesn't know this. You know, they don't really know. They don't ask enough questions about it. But to get into real estate, it's literally 90 hours of school and class. So 90 hours, and you can be a licensed realtor dealing with people's biggest asset, you know, that most people have, which is their home, right? And so it's a very low entry. I mean, people that go to cosmetology school to cut your hair, do all those things, I think they're schooling 600 hours. So just to kind of put that in perspective between the two. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, groups that have, you know, over, for years we've tried to get the entry into level into real estate, you know, to be much higher and to be a much higher standard. Because it's really sad. And again, when you really realize, or not realize, but when you think like me as an agent, when I think of like what my responsibility is in dealing with people's biggest asset, it's important, right? And then you could just get people into the industry. Like I said, it's a low entry. And so a lot of people come in with the I'll try mentality. And because it's not so much of a risk, it's not so much monetarily cost to get into the industry, all those things. And I think that's part of the a big reason why there's such a huge turnover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, literally 80. And then the rest of that statistic is within 5 years, 90 to 95% of those agents are out.
Wow.
So over 5 years, I mean, over a 5 year period from agents getting licensed to staying in the business, it's less than 10% that actually can last for 5 years and beyond.
That's significant. I had never heard, you know, that really tells a wild story.
Yeah. People just don't have, you know, and honestly, the general public has no real idea what realtors do. I don't feel like we don't do a good job of educating, on a profession level. Mm-hmm. But agents really have no idea what is involved when they're getting into it. And I didn't either 21 years ago, but I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. I didn't get into it because I like looking at houses. I didn't get into it for the money, you know, like some people think, oh my gosh, even the public, they look at realtors and they see what they make, you know, commission wise. And they're like, oh my gosh, realtors are making so much money. Well, the average realtor makes about $32,000 a year, the average realtor. And so of that money that gets paid, it doesn't go all to the realtor. It gets all diversified out, you know, to the company. The realtor has to pay all the marketing expenses out of that. And then of course, Uncle Sam wants a huge chunk of that, you know, on and on. And so there's so much more to it, you know, not even just the money side, but the business side of it that agents getting into the business have no clue of what they're getting into.
Right.
You know? And then on the flip side of the coin, like I said, the general public really has no clue what realtors are having to do behind the scenes, you know, just to be a successful agent, to be successful advocates for them and their clients.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this first segment with Kathy. There are two more of these very valuable and enjoyable segments coming in the balance of this conversation with Kathy. So definitely look forward to that. The next episode coming next week. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for following and subscribing and sharing whenever possible. It really is key to kind of getting this platform started and getting this community established. So I appreciate your help and engagement in that. So before I leave you for now, here is a quote from episode 2 with Kathy.
And this is the mindset that I think people in business, doesn't have to be realtors, you know, people in business, you got to have the mindset, like if there's a problem that comes up in my world, if it's going to be able to be figured out, I'm going to figure it out.
Okay, so remember, be you, be confident, and be a catalyst. See ya. Mm-hmm.